Many Americans believe it's illegal to use the Social Security number as an ID. It's an understandable misconception. Up until 1971, the Social Security card actually came with a printed warning against using the number for identification purposes. But that was never more than a suggestion, and one the U.S. government itself has rarely followed. Evan Hendricks, editor of the Privacy Times newsletter, says the evolution of the Social Security number is a symbol of what happens to personal data in the modern world.
They said it was only going to be for the purpose of tracking your Social Security account, and then slowly and quietly it was used for driver's license records. Now you have to give it to your bank. All government agencies use it as the identification number. And so the original promise that it was only going to be used for one purpose was one of the great lies to the American people.
And some Americans are rebelling against the broadening uses of the Social Security number. In the last few years, groups opposed to the number have proliferated on the internet with websites and mailing lists. Many groups are motivated by religious beliefs. Scott McDonald, a construction worker in Alabama, runs a website known as Fight the Fingerprint.
In the book Revelation, it talks about this numbering system that worldwide government will require people to have in order to buy or sell. And I see that happening with the Social Security number. Whether it is the mark of the beast or not, it conforms to all of the criteria.
But religion isn't the only reason he and other people object to the Social Security number. McDonald says many of the members of his mailing list simply worry about the number's power to cross-reference all sorts of private data, ranging from financial records to medical histories.
That single identifier can bring all that information together in one location, which makes it, in essence, one huge, large database. Everything about you can be collected through the internet right now using that number.
Hostility to universal identification systems runs deep in American culture, something that may explain why it took decades of incremental change for the Social Security number to become the national ID. Representative Ron Paul of Texas, one of the most outspoken privacy hawks in Congress, says his constituents are still very suspicious of the number.
We've done some polling, and 80% of the people in my district, as well as across Texas, are very concerned and upset about the trends for the federal government toward using the Social Security number the way they do.
The most recent flashpoint in the battle over the number has been the 1996 Illegal Immigration and Reform Responsibility Act, which directed states to require Social Security numbers from all driver's license applicants. Congressman Paul interpreted the law as an effort to use the Social Security number to create a de facto national ID by yoking all the state driver's license databases together with the Social Security number as the common denominator. The system would have taken effect in October of 2000, but this fall, Congressman Paul and other conservative Republicans got the House and Senate to repeal it. Congress has put some other limits on the government's use of the number. Most agencies can ask for it, but usually only on a voluntary basis, and they're supposed to tell you when it's voluntary. Only a few agencies can demand the number outright, most notably the IRS. The private sector, on the other hand, is free to demand the Social Security number whenever it wants to, a situation that sometimes leads to a test of wills with customers. Privacy advocate Twyla Brays describes her experience with a nurse's aide at her doctor's office.
She said, "Oh, I see you didn't fill in your Social Security number, and could I have it?" And I said, "Well, I don't give it out." And she said, "Well, we have to have it." And I said, "No, you don't. You can just find another number." At which point she tried to leaf through my entire medical record to find the Social Security number, which I had never given. And then she was frustrated, and she said, "Well, fine. I guess we will."
Brays, who runs a lobbying group known as Citizens for Choice in Healthcare, says although she makes it a point to withhold her number, she understands why most Americans give in.
If you're not a nurse, if you're not part of the medical profession, you think that possibly not giving out your Social Security number will be detrimental to your health.
So is it worth all the time and effort to be stubborn about your Social Security number? Robert Gelman is a consultant who's worked on privacy issues in and out of government since the 1970s, and he says people should protect the number, but they shouldn't think that's enough to protect their privacy.
People react emotionally to disclosure of Social Security number, but they may pay less attention to other substantive bits of information about themselves, where they work, how much they make, and that sort of thing.
Gelman says in some ways, the six-decade-old controversy over the dangers of a national identity number has been overtaken by technology.
Linking records isn't all that difficult anymore, even if you don't have a common number. You can do fuzzy searching to match names, even though the names are in different forms and addresses, and it's actually not that difficult.
Gelman would like to see a more comprehensive national policy on the privacy of all personal data. And he says the obsession with the Social Security number often serves to distract citizens and elected officials from more pressing privacy questions, such as whether customers should have the right to see the personal information that companies and the government have already collected. I'm Martin Costi, Minnesota Public Radio.
Independent. Trish wanted to become a role model for her five children to let them know that a good education is the key to holding a job and building a career. Train to Work helped me focus on my children's education and to make sure they can take it seriously. Well, Trish, I got to tip my hat to you, and I have one on, because with five kids to be out in the workforce, that in itself is remarkable. And you deserve to be commended for that, for taking an aggressive role like that. But I can tell that you're doing it to set an example for your kids, aren't you?
Yes.
And it'll work, won't it?
Yes, it will.
Yeah, because you come home and you got a smile on your face, I can tell already, and it transfers right to your children then when they see mom doing something good. Trish, how did you get involved also? I'll ask you the same question. You were on welfare. You